Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on a Wednesday afternoon on the Ides of December, December 15th, 2010. Thanks very much for tuning in to your local campus and community radio station. And thank you for your patience during the technical difficulties that we were having earlier. Speaking of which, Free Speech Radio News could use your help. All of us who are longtime listeners of KDBS know that from 4:30 to 5 on weekdays, we enjoy newscasts from Free Speech Radio News, which you can visit at fsrn.org. Evidently, Free Speech Radio News, celebrating 10 years and counting, is in financial crisis. I've been told that they face closure on December 20th without the help of its fans and listeners. If you want to find out more, you can visit fsrn.org. Here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, I feature interviews with poets and pundits, prognosticators, guests who have creative projects of all sorts. Many of them are especially literary, poetic, sometimes theatrical, and such will be the case today. I have two great poets lined up. The first is Don Kingfisher Campbell. And Don Kingfisher Campbell is the founder of the Poetry People Youth Writing Workshops. He's the publisher of the San Gabriel Valley Poetry Quarterly, leader of the Emerging Urban Poets Writing and Thursday Evening Critique Workshops. He's also host of Monday Night Poetry in Pasadena, California. Like myself, he is an arts advocate who works tirelessly on behalf of poetry, and he's been well recognized for his efforts. He's the recipient of an honorable mention in the League of Laboring Poets March 2007 contest, the National Writers Association's Los Angeles Chapter Author of the Month certificate, the Artist for a Better World Spirit of Youth Award, an honorable mention in the Pathetic.org 9/11 Poetry Contest, the Pennsylvania State Poetry Society's Charles Ferguson Prize, and an Arroyo Arts Collective's Poetry in the Windows Prize. He's got a new book out. It's called Among the Detritus, and also a downloadable audio CD called Eternal Epitaph. And he's agreed to join me on today's edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Don Kingfisher Campbell, welcome back to the radio show.
It's great to be back, Dr. Andy.
It's about a year ago, September, I think, that you were last on the program talking about your work and your poetry activism. And now you've got a new book out called Among the Detritus. Tell folks at home a little bit about the title and the content of Among the Detritus.
Okay, Amongst the Detritus is basically the best of my poetry from the past 3 years. There are 144 poems in the book, and 12 of the 144 poems can also be found on the CD, which is downloadable. It's called Eternal Epitaph.
And how does one find the CD? I think I remember on one of your websites reading that Amazon.com is one of the places that can be downloaded?
Yes.
That's wonderful. Eternal Epitaph. And tell me about the relationship between the poetry that you write and the poetry activism that you're known for, especially in the Pasadena area. I'm sure there are a lot of poets down there who appreciate that you provide so many venues for their performances and publications.
Well, yeah, it's mutually beneficial. I'm a poetry-holic, so I need to expose myself to poetry as often as I possibly can. And when it comes to writing poetry, I try to influence them as much as they influence me. I have some preferences. For example, I'm kind of a poetic realist, so I'm not too much into writing that is not personal. I think there has to be a personal element, you know, as well as craft. But it's got to be a marriage of the two, in my opinion.
And when you say personal, do you mean in part autobiographical?
Yes, yes.
Who are some of the poets who you most admire who follow a similar vein? Who do you look to for inspiration?
Someone really over the past decade has been Jeffrey McDaniel.
And who's that?
Jeffrey McDaniel is a poet, I believe, he settled between Chicago and Los Angeles. And I highly recommend him. He's someone who studied with James Tate in New England.
Uh-huh.
And James Tate is just someone who has incredible craft, and he's not as autobiographical. There are elements there, but Jeffrey McDaniel is the one who took it to the next level. And it's very personal, but at the same time, it's very impressive in terms of its ability. I'm trying to avoid saying craft again.
Right.
But his ability to write, his sheer ability to write, combined with the subject matter, it's extremely compelling and inspirational. There was another poet a few years earlier by the name of Michelle Cerros, who was a New York, L.A. poet, and her poetry is very real, but at the same time, well-written. So it's, you know, those are the two things I definitely look for.
Excellent. I see here that Jeffrey McDaniel teaches at Sarah Lawrence College.
Right.
And he's also been published not only in Plowshares, but the Best American Poetry of 1994. So an impressive poet indeed, someone who I don't know very well, but who I should get on this radio show at some point.
That would be fantastic.
All right. I'll make sure to drop you a line when that happens. So, Amongst the Detritus is your new book. Who is the publisher on that? How does one pick up a copy?
Hey, this is something that's a real trend these days, people publishing their own books.
Sure.
Helps increase the profit margins. I published this by going to instantpublisher.com.
Uh-huh.
What I like about them is what you give them is what they publish. I've worked with other publishing places before and had problems with the editors not understanding what I wanted, not being able to help create what I wanted the book to look like. But this particular company, you send them the PDF, and that's what they print.
Excellent. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick musical break, hear a public service announcement. And when we return, Don Kingfisher Campbell, I'm going to ask if you'd be willing to share one of your radio-ready poems on the air with the listeners of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. So okay. we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis.
Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
about the death penalty, euthanasia, and abortion? What about stem cell research and contraception? Do you believe in free speech or some form of censorship? Who do you trust and why? Define your personal ethics by listening to concepts and issues presented on It's About You. My name is France, your host, and I will search the universe to bring you guests and topics every Monday morning at 8:30 in order to assist you in defining who you are. Namaste.
Thank you, Franz, for telling us about your radio show. It's About You is one of 10 public affairs programs that you can hear Monday through Friday on this, your campus and community radio station, KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. Don Kingfisher Campbell is my returning guest. He is a Southern California-based poet who has been especially active in inspiring others to write great works. His work has been recognized with a number of prizes and honorable mentions. He's got a new book out. It's called Amongst the Detritus, as well as a downloadable audio CD called Eternal Epitaph. Both are available in a number of online places, as well as, I'm sure, in bookstores in the Pasadena area. So let's hear from Don Kingfisher Campbell. Don, do you have a poem there that you could share with listeners this afternoon?
Most certainly. In fact, it's interesting. Your show is called Poetry and Technology Hour, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, the CD has 12 of the poems from the book, and these poems are not just the poems, but they're also accompanied by music and sound effects produced by Barry Schwamm in Sierra Madre, California. Maybe I should play one of those. I wonder if I can.
You mean if you'd could play one of those tracks?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it would work as well as your voice would.
Well, that's probably true. We could do a comparison. I'll play the track and then I'll do it with a voice. Or should we do it the other way around?
Well, why don't you give us a voiced poem first, and then we can enjoy a track from your CD.
Yeah. Well, concerning what we were talking about, the realism aspect, this poem jumped out at me from the book. It's called My Object Life. So here it goes.
Great.
My street is usually quiet. Sometimes it can't control itself. My apartment ain't getting any younger. Just ask the walls, the sofa, the carpet, the drapes. My TV's feeling neglected if it wasn't for the Lakers. My clothes are a little concerned about belly weight. My car wants to believe I can continue to maintain her. I see her interior roof start to fray. My CDs wish I would still be faithful to them. Lately, I've been driving with MP3s. My cell phone doesn't like me to receive calls from the wrong poet. You know who I mean. My wallet and refrigerator are okay. Both could use the insertion of some lettuce instead of the constant taking out of plastic. My computer's very happy. We touch each other every day. The microwave wonders when life will be cleaner. The clock knows I'd rather not look in the mirror. The bed remembers better nights. The tissue box worries, though, if I'll ever cry again. That's a sample.
Oh, that's nice. I like it very much. Tell me again the title of that poem.
My Object Life.
My Object Life. Excellent. Well, if you have it nearby, why don't we listen to one of the technology-supported poems on your new CD called Eternal Epitaph?
Yeah, okay, let's see. I'll go with the title cut, Eternal Epitaph. Here goes.
All right.
You are a ghoul in the graveyard. The sirens that took my soul with magic motion lips, black cat sound. Am I being an ogre to remind you of the spell that once spooked both our spirits? We were like bats, fluttering above the zombies, soaring on a warlock's dreamstick. Now, I'm no better than a ghost, rattling my
and him putting you in an army. Instead, I live long with the mutant, wishing he had his banshee back. It's an illusion again. But come to think of it, you actually were a witch, wearing a black widow. Sank her fangs into my heart to bleed to death my dream. He would have an afterlife. There is no chance of a phoenix here, because you are the phantasmal wraith, and I, poison spider in a dungeon. So I guess I'll bury our child, which turned out to be a spawn without a demon's chance of reincarnation, and carry a torch into my skull, wherein lies the specter of a relationship, like cobwebs in a catacomb.
All right, and that was the title poem from a new CD called Eternal Epitaph. It's by my guest this afternoon, Don Kingfisher Campbell. Don, we're going to take a quick break, and then if you have one more short poem to read from the book, your new book titled Amongst the Detritus, I'd love to hear it.
Sure will.
All right. You're listening, everyone, to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is Dr. Andy with an important message. The Yolo County Central Landfill has a new program that helps reduce waste going into landfills. Residents of the county, including students at the University of California at Davis, can now recycle techno trash, such as VHS and cassette tapes, if you know what those are, CDs, DVDs, floppy disks, all at the Yolo County Central Landfill free of charge. The landfill will also accept television sets, computer monitors, CPUs, and other small electronic items for proper recycling, also for free. The landfill is open every day except holidays. For more information, call 530-666-8856 or visit yolocounty.org. Welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. Don Kingfisher Campbell is my guest this afternoon. He's the founder of Poetry People Youth Writing Workshops, publisher of the San Gabriel Valley Poetry Quarterly, leader of the Emerging Urban Poets Writing and Thursday Evening Critique Workshops, and host of Monday Night Poetry in Pasadena, California. Don Kingfisher Campbell has given almost every day of his week over to poetry, and now he's sharing some time with us this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Don, what's the poem that you'd like to finish with this afternoon?
Okay, well, this is a Los Angeles poem. It's called This Must Be Heaven.
Great, let's hear it.
Everyone who doesn't live in L.A. says we're the city of lost angels. But for those of us who drive, we believe our pathways are populated by individuals in heavy armor, zagging about, directing with pulsing hands, and shoes changing speed inside carpeted compartments that move from home to driving interest. That is what trunks are for, to collect booty for placement back in our shrines to ourselves. Open any door and discover placed portraits of souls on display, waiting for judgment or earthquake. Either way, tangible detritus left behind seem to wait for our return. That is our faith, that we will live to breathe another day full of possessions, which we know will ultimately break like bodies. This must be true for any place wealthy enough to have wings for sale.
That was wonderful. Tell me again the title of that poem.
All right, that one's called This Must Be Heaven.
All right. Don Kingfisher Campbell has been my guest this afternoon. What sort of additional projects do you have planned for 2011, Don?
I'm happy to say we're going to do the second annual San Gabriel Valley Poetry Festival in April.
Excellent. For National Poetry Month.
Right.
Good, good. Well, Don, it's been a pleasure to speak with you again on the radio show. I hope that you have a great new year, and thanks again for appearing on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you very much.
Take care. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Keep it right here for more jazz and more poetry.
UC Davis now has its very own Buddhism Club. They will be meeting at 8 p.m. in 101 Olson Hall on Thursdays to talk about Buddhism through reading and dialogue.
study.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. Hope you've been enjoying this jazz this afternoon. This is Ronnie Laws with the track Always There. Comes from a 2-CD set called Blue Note Trip from Blue Note, the finest in jazz, since 1939. I'm very pleased to introduce you all to my next guest this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. She is Tazina Pinchback. Tazina Pinchback is a mother, she's a writer, she's a cranberry enthusiast. Using narrative as shaman and lyric as landscape, she is a corporate proposal writer by day and a, get this, syllable wench courting meter form and tambourine, carrying skeletons by night. Tazina is founder and facilitator of Cat in the Belly, a memoir and guided journaling workshop incorporating eco-psychology and art therapy principles. She has recent work featured in Plainview Press's Alternatives to Surrender anthology, Paul Politis' photography exhibit A Clean, Well-Lighted Place, and in the Holly Rose Review. Tazina is author of 2 poetry chapbooks. They are titled Eve Songs and Hussy. And I'm very pleased to introduce you all to Tazina Pinchback. Tazina, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's wonderful to have you here. And I'm fascinated by the way that you characterize yourself. One thing that interests me is the fact that, like many of the poets that we have on this show, you have a kind of corporate Clark Kent sort of mentality, and then a superwoman poet that you become perhaps on evenings and weekends.
Well, interestingly, of late, I was recently laid off about maybe 4 months ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, actually, it's been a good thing because it has allowed me to really pursue a lot of poetry projects and to really delve into following my craft, which is something that tends to get put on the shelf because I might have to work late or it's a little more difficult to transition from corporate writing to the creative writing side. So it's actually been kind of a blessing in disguise.
Well, good. Good for you. And like you say, a chance to focus and perhaps to work on some longer projects when you don't have the as many interruptions in the way that a corporate job can introduce a creative or interrupt a creative soul.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Good, good for you. And tell me about your 2 books, Eve Songs and Hussy. Is Hussy the most recent one?
Hussy is the most recent one. Eve Songs was published in 1996. I was taking some graduate classes at the University of New Mexico, and I would read around town. Someone invited me to do a reading for a Kwanzaa festival, and I wrote a poem probably maybe 3 hours before the festival. I had written another one, and I decided to tear it up, and I wrote this poem titled Eve Songs, and people started coming to the Africana Studies director and asking to purchase the poem. So I was printing them out and giving them away, and the director actually contacted me saying that they usually publish, you know, small chapbook publications a few times a year, and they offered to publish, you know, a collection of maybe 10 poems. So we worked together for about a quarter and put together a few poems, and that's how Eve Songs was born. It's actually there in the library at UNM now to this day. That's the only existing printed copy that I know of. The latest project, Hussy, just released about 3 weeks ago, and it's actually the only printed collection I've done since 96. So I did work on it. Some of the poems I started working on back in 2007.
Uh-huh.
It's a small collection. There's some prose in it, some prose poems, some form poetry, but it's got some experimental pieces. I play around with a lot of surrealism. It's a little dark, a little melancholy, but I like it. There's some light. There's some light in there. There's enough light in there to balance it out, I think.
Excellent. Well, I think people at home would love to hear a poem. Do you have a book or a manuscript or a poem nearby that you could share with listeners to KDVS this afternoon?
I do. I do have a few poems lying around. I'll start off with a short one. The title of this poem is The Unborn Song. And suddenly I imagine you floating, 12 weeks, limbs, skin, a rapid pulse swimming in the tiny sack, clear like cellophane, not falling or being torn from me, but instead raging with desire to run, breathe, touch bread and wine someday, sun to lips. And suddenly, we were one bone splintered in two, jagged edges pushed through flesh, a wound. And I imagined you, a fairy, in the tiny sack, clear like cellophane, swathed in a copper and iron confetti, glittering wings folded beneath your feet, standing on the branch of a dead boab tree, jutting from the lean of my umbilicus. That's it.
Very nice.
Thank you.
When you think about your own poetry, what are the themes or topics or subjects or experiences that continue to inspire you as a poet?
I really like imagery. I tend to write from an image. So whereas I think a lot of poets that I know and a lot of poets that I'm very interested or intrigued by kind of poetry development and how poets and writers go about birthing a poem or a piece. And most of mine will start with an image. I might see in my mind a bright red pale or a yellow canary.
Interesting.
Or something like that. And I can tend to build a story about the object or about the person or about the thing. I'm very interested in untold stories, untold narratives, even the narratives of inanimate things. I often wonder if you see a chair sitting in a room in the corner, you know, if that chair could talk, what would it say? What has it seen? So I usually start with an image in my mind and then it builds from there.
That's wonderful. And when you think of poets that have been inspirational to you, who are the folks that you've seen or met or read that have helped you form your own individual poetic voice?
I think one of my favorite poets would be Pablo Neruda, definitely.
Uh-huh.
I really like Latin poets. There's a lot of color and this vibrant movement and music in a lot of the poetry. I enjoy contemporary poets that I like. I took a workshop at Hurston Wright, the writer's workshop at American University a few years back.
Uh-huh.
And I took a workshop under A. Van Jordan. And his poetry is just so full of music and rhythm. And he does amazing things with persona. I really, really enjoy his voice. I like the fact that I can read him. I can read various works by him. And it doesn't always sound like A. Van Jordan telling a story.
Right.
It sounds like whoever the narrator is. And I really appreciate poets who have that stern ability to remove themselves from the poem. That's something that I really that's probably my Achilles heel. That's what I struggle with. I beat myself up with that all the time. So those will definitely be two poets that that I love. Sandra Cisneros, I like that she works back and forth between the prose and the poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy that. So, and again, she's great with imagery. She, to me, writes more of the confessional or the self, which I'm very drawn to. I kind of see a lot of my work as that, being more on the confessional side. So I really enjoy that, too.
Great. Yeah, we were talking about confessional poetry a little bit in the first half
of this
program.
Yeah, I was listening to that.
And it seems to me that there's something raw and approachable and for many poets very meaningful and moving about a well-written confessional poem, such as those that that you and Don Kingfisher Campbell write. And I think that's one of the pleasures that one can look forward to on a lucky evening at a particular poetry reading.
Yes, it's. I'm very interested right now in finding a very good balance, sort of that intersection between the confessional and the craft. It's, you know, it's so easy to just kind of dump everything in the kitchen sink in a poem.
Right.
And then there's that, you know, extraction of taking out everything. I like a poem to be written well, put together well, to have a really good, substantial language, but also to evoke something. I'm very, very interested in my work right now and finding kind of that balance between the pathos and the craft. So I think that's a good challenge. It's something that I continue to strive to improve upon. So.
Excellent. Good for you. Well, we're going to take a quick musical break, and when we return, we're going to hear another poem by my guest. Her name is Tazinia Pinchback, and you're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis.
National MS Society have some strategies for taming stress. Simplify your life. Relax. Learn to say no. Do the unpleasant things early in the day so you don't have to worry about them. Schedule rest periods and finally learn to laugh at yourself. Multiple sclerosis, or MS, is a chronic, unpredictable disease of the central nervous system. To find out more about the National MS Society, call 1-800-FIGHT-MS or visit www.nationalmssociety.org.
This is KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. I'd like to take a quick moment on a personal note to thank the folks who run the group Special Kids Into Educational Situations, or SKIES. They hosted the annual Jingle Bowling event at the MU Games area on Monday evening. I was there with my three children, my wife, a whole bunch of friends, and it's great because they just turn the kids loose on the bowling alley. They send all the credits up to 99 and turn them loose on the video games. My son, Juki, especially enjoyed spending about half an hour pretending that he was a BMX motocross bicyclist, as well as a motorcycle artist on a couple particular video games. So thanks again to SKIES. If you want to find out more about them, you could Google or use some other search engine of your choice. SKIES, S-K-I-E-S, I think it stands for Special Kids Into Educational Situations. Tazinia Pinchback is my guest this afternoon. She's a mother, she's a writer, she's a cranberry enthusiast. She's the author of two poetry chapbooks, Evesongs and Hussy, and she's my guest here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I left Facebook open to Xenia, and someone just sent a shout-out via Facebook that they that people should tune in to our conversation. So you've got some fans out there.
Great.
One in particular is the editor of Poetry Now, which is the journal, the monthly journal of the Sacramento Poetry Center.
Yes.
So, wonderful. Tell me a little bit about your schedule. We were just talking about Facebook. How is it that you've used social networking tools or other technologies to get the word out about the work that you do as a poet?
Interestingly, I have a few friends who are just amazing at, you know, Twitter and Facebook and just, you know, getting email blasts out. And I used to use it for work. A lot of times we were looking to recruit people and find consultants and contractors. I would be the person that was in charge of kind of going out to the various sites. And just in the past few years, writing pieces and posting them to Facebook and connecting with a lot of other writers and artists and kind of looking at what they were doing and kind of mimicking it. So I'm not as aggressive as I should be on Facebook and Twitter. I think it's an art unto itself to be promoting and getting getting your work out there. What I did have to do though was when I started back sending out work to various lit mags and journals, I had to be careful because I would write something. I was in a critique group for years, the Griot space. So I was very used to having this feedback, this instant feedback. I'd write something or I was working on something. I could post it on the bulletin board and, you know, people would respond and critique and we could kind of dialogue about the work. But when that ended and I started to do that with, for example, Facebook, you know, once you put something on the internet, it's published. So that kind of created a dilemma. It's like, how do you let people know that your work is out there? How do you get people to read it? But at the same time, you know, you can't do that if you're submitting to journals. And at the time I was working on my manuscript that I was going to submit for the MFA. So what I started doing was I started my blog. And that way I just kind of, I try to do free writes a few days a week. I will post pieces that I'm working on, pieces I have an idea about. Not everything I write is something that I'm going to, you know, send off to a publication.
Right.
So I try to stay in contact with a lot of other writers and photographers and visual artists and just kind of, I don't use it as much as for marketing tools I should. I really like the community aspect of it. I like the ability to share and to read others' work and to kind of get feedback. And I really like the community aspect of it. But I've been told recently by a few authors that I really need to push a little harder. So we'll see what comes of that in the next few months.
I guess all of us who care deeply about poetry think part of the time about what authors and friends we should be pushing and when we should be pushing ourselves and pushing our own poetry out the door and out before people's eyes.
Right. I enjoy discovering new works and sharing them with other people. And I found that a lot of other writers and poets have been really great with that. Most of the exposure that I've gotten through social networking has been from other artists or other readers, or other writers that have been, you know, kind enough to say, hey, you know, check out Tavinia's work here or check out her blog or I read a great poem today and, you know, they'll share a link. So a lot of great, you know, a lot of gratitude to my writer friends who do that all the time. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of writing, could you share with us, Tazinia, another poem?
I sure can. I will do the poem that it's not the title poem, but it is kind of the nucleus of the collection, Hussy. The title of it is The Stick Figure's Lullaby. It is a pantoum, and most of the pieces in here, well, all of the pieces in this collection are deliberate. I've chosen to write them in various forms or free verse for a reason. This poem, The Stick Figure's Lullaby, I chose to write it in a pantoum format because I like the idea of the refrain aspect, the two steps forward and then, you know, the walking backwards to review and, you know, lurching forward and coming back.
Right.
Some of the pieces, the work is a little dark and a little intense. And I wanted to juxtapose kind of the grotesque with the beauty of traditional poetic form. So this one here, The Six Figures Lullaby, is in pantoum format. And I will read this. Here in the Thursday house, I know my worth. A dime bag is fair trade for a little girl. Broken smiles are a kind of pretty, Mr. Curtis says. I know my worth. A daughter is her mother's best currency. Broken smiles are a kind of pretty. Mr. Curtis says junkies will pick you clean to the bone. A daughter is her mother's best currency. See my dancing skeleton, scribbled in blue crayon? Junkies will pick you clean. To the bone I shimmy under the weight of this flesh. See my dancing skeleton? Scribbled in blue, crayon-stained walls frame a map of the world. I shimmy under the weight. This flesh is what I carry and what keeps me. Stained walls frame a map of the world. A dime bag is fair trade. A little girl is what I carry. And what keeps me here in the Thursday house?
Very nice.
Thank you.
I really like the refrain of that and the mix of kind of a shocking urban content and realities with a centuries-old traditional verse form. So very,
yes.
Very well done.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, Tazinia, let me ask, 2011 is right around the corner. What do you have planned for the new year in terms of new projects?
I will be launching a new series of workshops in March of next year. My pilot workshop will be in March for Cat in the Belly. So I'm going to be doing workshops locally here in the Atlanta area at an artist co-op. Called Homegrown in downtown Decatur near Agnes Scott College. And I'll probably have about maybe 8 workshop participants. So I'm working on, I'll be working on launching that workshop series. The first one's going to be 8 weeks long. And I'm hoping to gather enough content to put together a small chapbook publication for a local organization here that works to bring awareness and to kind of legislate laws against child trafficking. So that's my baby for next year. Kind of on the back end, I am starting a novella. I'm giving myself all of 2011 to really sketch it out and get a good first working draft of my very first novella together. So those are my two biggest projects coming for 2011.
Excellent. Good for you. Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about your poetry this afternoon. I hope you're able to meet all of your 2011 poetry and writing goals. And I look forward to also hearing news of your next book of poetry. I really enjoy hearing your verse tonight.
Thank you very much for having me, and thanks for the kind words.
Absolutely. Have a good evening and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you. You too.
You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around, because I've got announcements about two upcoming events.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour with news of two upcoming events. Tomorrow night here in the city of Davis is Poetry Night. Tomorrow evening's event will take place at the John Atsoulis Gallery, which is right at downtown Davis at the corner of 1st and E Streets, 521 1st Street here in the city of Davis. Inara Gard and Bill Gaynor will be the featured poets. I first got to know Inara right here live on this radio show. She has moved to Sacramento more permanently recently. She was before Bicoastal in Boston and Sacramento. And her poetry has been published in Typog, Touch 2, and Hika. She's also published nonfiction on a variety of subjects. She's got a new collection of short stories out. It's called The Sound of One Body. The short stories within it have been described as, quote, strong, haunting, like small wounds, nothing fatal, but nevertheless permanent, not scars, but bruises won in battle, each one a glancing blow that leaves a distinct mark. That's The Sound of One Body by poet Inara Gard. She'll be the first reader tomorrow evening at the John Atsoulis Gallery. The second will be Bill Gaynor. Bill Gaynor is a longtime advocate, champion for local poetry. He's known for the openness of his confessional poetry and is recognized as one of the founding contributors to the modern movement of after-hours poetry. He's contributed to the literary scene as a writer, editor, promoter, publicist, publisher, poet, and MC. He continues to read and work with a wide range of poets and writers, including readings on KUSF radio with punk rocker Patti Smith and performances with California Poet Laureate Al Young. Bill Gaynor is nationally published and is the editor of Nevada County's Penn Award-winning press, R.L. Crow Publications, which was recently recognized by the Sacramento News and Review as a Best of Sacramento, with the Best of Sacramento Award for its Guerrilla Poetry Project. That's Bill Gaynor and Inara Gard tomorrow evening at 8 at the John Atsoulis Gallery. There will be an open mic afterwards. If you want details, you can go to poetryindavis.com. There's another reading coming up in January 31st from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Sacramento Poetry Center. It will be a benefit for the UC Davis Mind Institute for Autism Research and the Odyssey Learning Center. I'm going to be there. I get to read some of my poetry that evening. That event is organized by Frank Graham and hosted by Doreen Jeanette. I've had Doreen on this radio show a number of times. I'll make sure to get Frank Graham to come on the show sometime and talk about his work as a poet and his work on behalf of this important reading. Caitlin Sunger is the volunteer coordinator, and the poets will include Becky Faust, Connie Post, and Michelle Biting, as well as your host, Dr. Andy. These are all first-rate poets, Becky, Connie, and Michelle, that is, and I'm really honored to be reading with them on January 31st. If you want to find out more about this, you can go to the blog readingforautism.blogspot.com. There will also be information at the website of the Sacramento Poetry Center. I'd like to thank all of my guests for appearing on today's show. Don Kingfisher Campbell got us from Pasadena, and Tazinia Pinchback got us from the 404 area code, which I believe is Atlanta. I'll have two more poets to introduce you to next week. We'll also have a few holiday specials to present. So stick around for some great music, which is being prepared for you now. And I'll see you tomorrow evening at the John Itzulis Gallery at 8 for some great poetry. And a week from today for another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. See you next week.